Ender turned his back and went on into the battle room. Soon his army arrived, and no one else. Either Anderson waited around to intercept anyone coming to Ender's practice group, or word had already passed through the whole school that Ender's informal evenings were through. It was a good practice. They accomplished a lot. But at the end of it, Ender was tired and lonely. There was a half hour before bedtime. He couldn't go into his army's barracks. He had long since learned that the best commanders stay away unless they have some reason to visit. The boys have to have a chance to be at peace, at rest, without someone listening, to favor or despise them depending on the way they talk and act and think. So he wandered to the game room, where a few other boys were using the last half hour before final bell to settle bets or beat their previous scores on the games. None of the games looked interesting, but he played one anyway, an easy animated game designed for launchies. Bored, he ignored the objectives of the game and used the little player figure, a bear, to explore the animated scenery around him. "You'll never win that way," Ender smiled. "Missed you at practice, Eli."
"I was there."
"But they had your army in a separate place. Looks like you're big time now. Can't play with the little boys anymore." "You're a full cubit taller than I am." "Cubit! Has God been telling you to build a boat or something, or are you in an archaic mood?"
"Not archaic, just arcane. Secret, subtle, roundabout, I miss you already, you circumcised dog."
"Don't you know? We're enemies now. Next time I meet you in battle, I'll whip your ass." It was banter, as always, but now there was too much truth behind it. Now, when Ender heard Eli talk as if it were all a joke, he felt the pain of losing his friend, and the worse pain of wondering if Eli really felt as little pain as he showed.
"You can try," said Ender. "I taught you everything you know, but I didn't teach you everything I know."
"I knew all along that you were holding something back, Ender."
A pause.
Ender's bear was in trouble on the screen. He climbed a tree.
"I wasn't, Eli, holding anything back."
"I know," said Eli. "Neither was I. Salam, Eli."
"Alas, it is not to be."
"What isn't?"
"Peace."
"It's what salam means. Peace be unto you." The words brought forth an echo from Ender's memory. His mother's voice reading to him softly when he was very young. "Think not that I am come to bring peace on earth. I came not to bring peace but a sword." Ender had pictured his mother piercing Peter the Terrible with a bloody rapier, and the words had stayed in his mind along with the image. In the silence, the bear died. It was a cute death with funny music. Ender turned around. Eli was already gone. Ender felt as if part of himself had been taken away, an inward prop that was holding up his courage and confidence. With Eli, to a degree impossible even with Shen, Ender had come to feel a unity so strong that the word "we" came to his lips much more easily than "I." But Eli had left something behind. Ender lay in bed, dozing into the night, and felt Eli's lips on his cheek as he muttered the word "peace." The kiss, the word, the peace were with him still. "I am only what I remember, and Eli is my friend in a memory so intense that they can't tear him out. Like Valentine, the strongest memory of all." The next day he passed Eli in the corridor and they greeted each other, touched hands, talked, but they both knew that there was a wall now. It might be breached, that wall, sometime in the future, but for now, the only real conversation between them was the roots that had already grown low and deep under the wall where they could not be broken. The most terrible thing, though, was the fear that the wall could never be breached, that in his heart Eli was glad of the separation and was ready to be Ender's enemy. For now that they could not be together, they must be infinitely apart, and what had been sure and unshakable was now fragile and insubstantial. From the moment we are not together, Eli is a stranger, for he has a life now that will be no part of mine, and that means that when I see him, we will not know each other. It made him sorrowful, but Ender did not weep. He was done with that. When they had turned Valentine into a stranger,
when they had used her as a tool to work on Ender, from that day forward, they could never hurt him deep enough to make him cry again. Ender was certain of that. And with that anger, he decided he was strong enough to defeat them, the teachers, his enemies.